You're listening to Coffee with Innovate Finance, where we speak with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I am Rashi Pandey, Head of Membership and Growth, and I'm very pleased to welcome Paul Taylor, who's the CEO and founder at Thought Machine. So Thought Machine enables the building, launching, and managing of any financial product, including cloud-native card and payments platform. It also has a Vault Core, which offers a complete core banking platform that is capable of being configured easily to suit the needs of any bank. Paul joins us today to tell us more. Thank you so much for joining us today, Paul.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background? How did you end up in the fintech industry?
Yeah, so before I entered fintech, I had a long career in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I started my career as an academic at Edinburgh University and did a PhD there in linguistics and artificial intelligence in the 90s, and then worked there for several years developing, and my specialty was text-to-speech technology. And then I after a reasonably successful academic career, I co-founded my first company called Rhetorical Systems in 2000, sold that, had a couple of years at Cambridge University as a visiting lecturer, and then started my second company called Phonetic Arts in 2006. And that was acquired by Google in 2010. And that became the text-to-speech or the voice output of all Google products. So Google Search, Google Home, and of course, driving directions. So, and during that Google phase, I had a transition. I've been doing speech a long time, as you can just understand. So I wanted to try something else. I was very enamored with Google's cloud technology. It was a fantastic company in terms of engineering quality. And so I learned a lot there, and I learned a lot about scalability, and I learned a lot about how to build very wide-ranging products. And of course, I learned a lot about the cloud. So after my period at Google was up, I was like most entrepreneurs, I had an earnout period. So once that was up, I left and I wanted to do something different. And a few things, we didn't have the idea exactly from day one, but I wanted to stay in London and I wanted to, fintech was the growing thing in London. And so I thought that was an obvious place to go. And I was always going to be a B2B person. I was never be a B2C person. And so I started the company. I hired some of the best software engineers I knew, and we experimented about a bit, and then we eventually started to do core banking.
Paul, that's a very, very impressive CV. I mean, when I was just looking through your LinkedIn page as well, but you've summarized it very beautifully. And the fact that, I mean, millions and millions of users globally use what probably you've done with Google, that's very impressive.
Yeah, often when I'm in an Uber, I hear it speaking back to me and I go, oh yeah, some of those bugs in it are still there, but it's long behind me by now.
Well, but that's wonderful to hear. So, you know, coming back to Thought Machine, what problems are you really trying to solve at Thought Machine? And you said you have hired some of the best engineers. So how is your technology stack different from your competitors?
Right. So the problem we're trying to address is the problem of legacy infrastructure and banks, and particularly the problem at the kind of foundation of the bank. So the foundation of the bank has the ledger, which stores the money. It has the product engine, which calculates the interest rates and fees and manages the accounts. And it has the payment system, which moves money in and out of the bank. And banks have been cursed by having increasingly old technology. So they use mainframes, and this stuff is difficult to shift. So once your ledger's on a mainframe, not easy to get off. So for many years, this wasn't too bad. The rest of the technology world has radically departed from any of the infrastructure or any of the practices that go on in those legacy banks. So most banks are updating their IT stack in every direction, but our particular focus is in core banking. So what makes it different? It couldn't be more different, our approach, from the incumbent systems. So the first thing I'd say is Thought Machine is a genuine software engineering company. It is, I'm a software engineer. Most of the senior people in the company are software engineers, even if they work in sales or something like that. And we have built a team of excellence. And because of that we really focus on fundamentally solving the problem. There's too much in the industry, which is patching up bits and pieces or hoping it's gonna continue for another few years or adding a piece on. And that sometimes has a reasonable chance of working, but there comes a time when really you need to fix the fundamental problems. And also banks are launching new divisions or new product ranges all the time. So there's a natural way in which they need new systems. So why is it better? First of all, it's fully cloud native. It's not, this industry has a habit of getting old applications, putting it into the cloud, but that doesn't work. To really take advantage of the cloud and the scaling of the cloud and the resilience of the cloud, you have to build it for the cloud. So it's fully cloud native. It's super scalable. So it can deal with small banks, small fintechs, all the way up to tier one banks. It can do tens and hundreds of millions of transactions. It can deal with complexity in banks. So large banks have multiple divisions. They might have multiple brands. They might be in multiple countries with multiple ledgers and currencies and regulators. So it can deal with all that complexity. It can deal with any type of product. So we've done mortgages, we've done Islamic banking, we've done credit cards, we've done car loans, we've done everything. So you can, so we want to make sure that no matter what a bank comes to us with, we can do it. And we've had no failures in that. Every single bank requirement we've been able to handle and handle easily. And just and there's the final thing I'd say is it's just unlike some of the legacy technology, which people in banks would describe as painful. I mean, we get very good feedback on just it's ease of use and it's ease of learning. And it feels like something that enables the bank to do what they want rather than a problem to be overcome.
You mentioned a lot of products there. So you really have diversified your offering, which is very, very impressive as well. And you are working with some of the largest global banks right now to transform their core banking services. Can you talk us through some of the success stories that you are probably able to share with us?
Yeah, so we do have we've thankfully had a lot of success with some of the world's biggest banks. So to name some, so Lloyds Banking Group here in the UK, SEB in Sweden, Standard Chartered, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan Chase, ING, Intesa Sanpaolo, and many others, which I can't announce. So some of the world's biggest banks have bought our technology and licensing our technology and are going live. So these are big banks. So it's a gradual process of going live. But for example, with Standard Chartered is a very international bank, and it operates in many, many countries. So it was wanted to launch digital banks in some of its key markets. So two markets that we started out with were Hong Kong and Singapore. And that resulted in Mox Bank in Hong Kong and Trust Bank in Singapore. And for example, Trust Bank in Singapore has been going less than 6 months and it's nearly a 500,000 customers. One of the fastest growing banks in the world, completely digital, completely automated, all on the cloud. They've got an absolutely stellar team in Trust Bank, and all of that technology is built on top of Thought Machine. So, and then we're part of the offering of Chase Bank in the UK. We're working with Chase Bank Deposits. We've been working with Lloyds for a long time. Atom Bank, one of the UK fintech success stories. We're the main ledger and the main product engine at Atom Bank. I've got hundreds of thousands of customers all happy on the platform. There are many more in addition to that.
I was going to say, I can totally imagine you and Mark being in the same room. And then there's a lot of passion for fintech and banking going on out there.
But you mean Mark Mullen?
Mark Mullen from Atom Bank, yes.
Yeah, so we're good friends, both Irish. When we're in the room, we talk, no one else gets a word in. And we've enjoyed many beers and dinners together. And what he's built with Atom is extraordinarily good. And he is one of the few people that's managed to create a challenger bank, build it a new technology, and have a proper balanced approach to banking where there's both deposits, both lending, and it's a profitable, a highly profitable business, and that is just a tremendous achievement.
No, I'll make sure Mark listens to this as well after we're done recording. So what do you think has been key to getting all these partnerships right? Because when you're working with such large organizations, like you said, there are a lot of complexities, etc. How have you gotten this right?
The key to our type of business and everybody's type of business is to produce a product which solves the problem that the bank has. Too many people in technology or entrepreneurship invent something and then try to persuade everybody that they want it. And you can do that approach, but the key to Thought Machine success is we properly listened and we properly understood the problems and we've solved, we went to the root of the problem and solved it, right? There's too many lazy jobs of a bit of this and a bit of that. So what are the fundamental problems? Must have been cloud native, right? So must have been cloud native and you must be able to run every product in the bank. And we don't customize the bank. The bank does that. So the bank has an easy way of adding all its products in. And those are three of the most fundamental points of pain in the bank. So when you do that, no one else can do that. So when you do that, you give the banks a path to future success. So now, on top of that, we have a great set of client relationships with banks. We highly value, you know, excellent service. We highly value our interactions. We're very honest brokers. We don't oversell. We don't rely on aggressive sales tactics or things like that. But primarily, you know, the core of the relationship is to build something that they really believe helps them solve their own problems. And when you do that, it makes it much easier. And then you're into a set of pleasant and happy conversations because you're working together to both achieve the same goal. And also in core banking, it's not just sell and then forget it sort of business. All these relationships go on for multiple years. So we use the word partnership with our customers and they use the word partnership with us because it has to be like that to be successful over a long time period.
So I'm sensing a very transparent relationship that you have with your clients, which is very good to see.
Yes. And as I said, it's easy to be transparent if what you've got is good. Organizations that people get into difficulties when they're trying to pretend that something isn't what it is. But if you do have something and it is impressive at its core, then transparency is a very easy principle to sign up to.
Fair enough. And with regards to, you know, fintech and bank partnerships, I mean, there's a lot said out there, you know, for the last few years. So if you could bust a myth about the banking and the fintech partnerships, what would it be?
Look, it's fair enough. In a market that many of the fintechs are challenging, and that is good. Competition is good. Open markets are good. So all that is. From our perspective, the banks are our customers, and we have found them much more amenable to saying yes and much more amenable to change and adopting forward-thinking practices than might have been the case. So our experience has been very positive, and we have not seen banks, what you might call, adopt overly conservative views or be reluctant to do it. They just haven't had the means to execute on their desire to modernize. But we're one of many companies helping that.
And coming back to, you know, your growth and your expansion, I mean, you mentioned Singapore as well, and of course, you have expanded globally. So which markets are the most important to your growth right now? And which markets have the most potential of adoption and growth in the next 5 years, according to you, and why?
So it's quite extraordinary. As I sit here today and look at our global footprint, we've got banks. We've got the banks in the US. We just signed a bank in Brazil. We've got banks in Vietnam. We've got banks in Indonesia. We've got banks in New Zealand. We've got banks in Singapore. We've got Hong Kong, Poland, Spain, Italy, Sweden. And so we haven't sold every single country in the world, but we're getting that way. So on an international perspective, most banks, at one level, every bank is the same. They have ledgers and they have products and they lend and they borrow. And then, of course, there are country-specific things, but our system is basically mostly universal to most banks, so we can sell globally. Today, Thought Machine is mostly focused on the retail bank and, to some extent, the SME lending space, so we can do that. But we will do corporate banking in the future because you have to prioritize, of course. But it's a global business. We've got three main hubs: London, Singapore, New York, and then got a physical presence, as in people working in another 15 countries after that.
That is mighty impressive. I mean, I've personally seen you guys grow as well and expanding your global footprint and like the all those different banks you named. Oh, wow. That's really, really cool.
Thank you.
Talking about your growth further, we cannot not mention, of course, you know, what's going on right now, especially with the current economic climate and especially the cost of living crisis. And, you know, you have scaled significantly in the last few years, especially, you know, with hiring more talent and recruiting in more clients. So a thought machine, are there plans to navigate this year differently than last year? And do you see a slowdown in hiring talent? And are you doing things differently, if at all, for your clients as well as staff alike?
Yeah. So the first thing I'd say is that the economy is the aggregate of all the actors in the economy, right? So what you say is exactly right. We're facing inflation. There's low growth, and maybe the recession won't be as bad as people say. So, and there's, you know, energy and there's severe economic headwinds. But that doesn't mean to say that every company or every person is responding in exactly the same way. And so Thought Machine's in a very fortunate position. So our core market is expanding rapidly. Sales were hugely up last year and they're going to be up again. So our revenue is growing at, you know, 80 to 100% every year. And the number of banks that we're going is growing by about the same amount. So we are expanding rapidly. We look at the market and it gives us a chance to check our figures and be sure. But after having done that, we're highly confident. So Thought Machine is going to expand. We will hire another 200 people in 2023, expand into more countries, add more banks, ship more products. And so it's a very solid time for us. And of course, with all the banks that we've signed, all those are continuing customers. Our license model is a subscription license model. So banks pay a fee every year, which means that we've got very stable revenue flows, which are growing very, very, very rapidly. And so for us, you know, it's a good time for banks. They are, because interest rates have risen, that nearly always helps the banks with their P&L. So for us, we're doing pretty well.
So you're going to scale further. I mean, I keep seeing, you know, press releases that you've signed on Bank A and then 2 months later, Bank B. So this, keep them coming. That's what I would say. And it's really good to see that you are going to hire, you know, more talent, basically, essentially 100, 200 people. That's a lot. And, you know, kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
So thinking about, you know, the fintech sector as a whole, what do you think are the challenges and opportunities, you know, for this year, especially for the industry?
Well, the obvious one is that the funding climate has changed a lot, right? So companies, so for Thought Machine, every deal that we do is profitable, right? It's just that we spend so much in R&D and international expansion that our costs are ahead of our revenues, which is why we're not profitable in the short term, but every deal is profitable. So if you are the type of company where individual deals and the unit economics of individual deals and individual customers are positive, then you're probably going to be okay. But if you're the sort of company that we're effectively buying customers below cost to fund expansion, I think that play is pretty much dead, because to do that you need very deep pocket investors, and very deep pocket investors aren't too difficult to find in expanding markets, but that has retrenched. So I think, unfortunately, so many of those sort of companies will struggle. I think that I hope that the landing is relatively soft, because as an entrepreneur of many times, I know what it's like when you're running out of money and you just don't get there. Thankfully, it's not going to happen to Thought Machine. So I hope there's a relatively soft landing. There will be a rebalancing of valuations. It's going to have to come through. But I also hope that I very much hope that the speed of innovation continues, and that people don't see this, you know, that a lack of funding stops the innovative cycle, because the innovative cycle is incredibly important for, you know, end user behavior, and all of this is really a pathway to help end users.
I was going to say, we actually launched our investment report as well recently, which, you know, highlighted 2022 numbers for fintech investment. And there's a lot of investment going into seed. I mean, of course, it has gone down, but, you know, especially early stage startups, they're getting a lot more funding now. So hopefully the innovation will, you know, keep going and, you know, keep being fueled. But of course, like you said, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you've done it a few times, you understand how it's going to be like. So as a fintech founder and CEO, if there was one piece of advice you could give to a fintech founder right now, what would it be?
I think the most important piece of advice is to have a really good understanding of what people really want, the competitive landscape. So it's a very hard thing to do right. If it is easy, then somebody's already done it, right? So you need to figure out somewhere where and in these days, you need to solve a fundamental point of pain, right? You can't just be throwing in nice to have. People's budgets are going to be tighter. So you cannot just throw in something that they can immediately cancel, or they don't want, or they're going to turn their mind off. And lots of tech companies of the last few years, which have been high growth companies, are having problems with that because they didn't really build anything that was sticky or was a must have. And as budgets tighten, they go. So I would say build something that is a must have. Go into an open market that's not a crowded space. Make sure there's clear differentiation between what you do and what everybody else does. And however you do it, get enough early customers that, you know, you've got a solid foothold in the market and a solid ability to tell investors what you want to do. And then for my, it doesn't have to apply to every investor, but product excellence is the foundation of Thought Machine's success. And so I believe that you should always keep on going with improving the product, because that will help. It will help the sales in the long run, but it also helps with your competitive position.
I love from, you know, our conversation, after every, you know, couple of sentences, I can see your engineering hat come on. And that's really good to see.
I don't write code anymore, but I'm still an engineer at heart. And Thought Machine, we try to think through problems properly. We really put products at the heart of what we do.
That's wonderful to see. You're a tech first, you know, problem solving company, which is wonderful. So, you know, Paul, before I let you go, I really enjoyed having this conversation. But before we close, any other exciting news you want to share with our audience?
I'm afraid not. No, we have some very big customer announcements coming out very soon. But I'll have to put a lid on that for now. But we closed a number of really large international banks at the end of last year. So that news will be coming out soon. But not quite now, I'm afraid.
That's all right. We will, you know, wait for the press releases then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for speaking with us, Paul.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Yes, I really, really enjoyed this conversation. And, you know, more power to you and to the team at Thought Machine. And thank you once again for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance. To our audience, do look out for upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our programs and events. And if you also want Thought Machine's press releases. As always, until next time, take very good care of yourselves.